Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase. We are in season four. Thanks for being here with us. If you're new here, let me get this out of the way really quickly. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/notjustaphaseworldwide. You could go there and toss us a couple bucks, help expand the podcast and the blog spot if you're feeling generous. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Not Just a Phase Worldwide. Occasionally, I tweet some dumb shit at NJAP Worldwide. And we're on Tinder trying to match with your band, but we keep ending up with your merch guy. So that's upsetting. We have video podcasts occasionally on the Patreon. And all of our trailers and video editing is brought to you by our partners in Blacko Media. They are the gentlemen behind the band Modular Lunar. So please give them a follow and check out their band and company. Vicky is back on the microphone to co-host with me today. She is a published motherfucker. She is a published music journalist, a hardcore vocalist, meme admin, show promoter, and my absolute favorite Italian next to Chef Boyardee. You can check out everything she's cooking up on her Instagram at VicMeatRazor, which will be tagged in the Instagram bio for this episode. And we're going to introduce the guests now. We are back in California with our microphone today. California has way too many good bands in their scene. It's actually insane. If you've heard this show before, you know how many Cali bands we've had on here. And today we're talking with my new favorites. The Blue Collar Beatdown Kings have brought fun back into hardcore in a big ass way. You don't want beef with these corn-fed, red-blooded Americans. Big Ass Truck is a seriously heavy band with a seriously fun gimmick, from their lyrics to their artwork to the whole presentation of it. You just can't be in a bad mood listening to them. It is not possible. I've tried it. They played their first show this year in early May, so they got to be the new best new hardcore band 2024. They always just get me in a great mood. And if you're sleeping on this band, you better pull the fuck over to the side of the road because they are not stopping. Big Ass Demo and the fucking promo are now out on American colored vinyl. Grab a copy from Creator Destructor Records. And I apologize for not being able to get through that without laughing, but American colored vinyl is just fucking silly. Well, welcome to the show. How's everyone doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me. American Color Vinyl was pretty ideal for that, so
It
only
definitely
made
fits.
sense.
Yeah. I was expecting like the whole like Star Spangled Banner, red, white, and blue type, but it's a lot cooler looking.
It's funny because like when the colors mix on the wax, it kind of comes out purplish in the background. It's like,
Nice. Cool. Just before I hand off to Vicky to start off the interview, do you mind just telling the listeners your name and what role it is you play in the band?
Yeah, of course. My name's Abel. I am the vocalist of Big Ass Truck. I have also written all the strings and music and stuff. The majority of the big ass concept. Hey, this is Abel from Big Ass Truck. You're listening to the song Big Ass Truck off of the Big Ass Demo on Not Just a Phase.
Can you believe the bullshit Chevy's putting in their spots lately? Fucking A. I guess it goes to show you what years of frustration will do. So if you want fucking stunts, see a fucking movie.
Pick this shit up. Straight out of the other empire. Where all the bad shit come from. We got bankers, sailors, McDonald's, and last but not fucking least. Yeah.
full-size Chevy. Go see your Ford dealer now.
Big ass podcasts. Have you ever been in one? Do you listen to any in your free time?
So I've done, I want to say two and a half. one of them was like kind of the first one I ever did was like just over 30 minutes, and it was a little rushed because we were running a little quick on time. But I've done two other ones. It's still like new. I love yapping, so I'm like really. It comes to me naturally, but it's still new to be recorded. But I do also listen to free podcasts in my free time. Like, I think my favorite one is probably Last Podcast on the Left. That, like, it's just a podcast about like paranormal and just cryptids and stuff like that. It's run by three guys. Some of them work for like Adult Swim and stuff like that. But mostly,
and is
that,
it just audio? Or videos?
They have like very rare do they have video stuff. Like, it's usually like live shows and all that, but it's mostly audio, like just something to pass the time with. And they're all three of the guys are hilarious. It's great.
Oh, so it's not like spooky, it's more like goofy spooky.
Oh yeah, it's like it's tongue-in-cheek humor, and like they're just making fun of the and any everything they're talking about, like not trying to freak you out.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun.
I mean, honestly, same. And I feel like when it comes to you, like interviews to you, people may have like questions about your whole concept. So let's just go step by step. First of all, is everyone in your band from San Bernardino? Correct?
Yeah, you nailed it. Good job. So we claim Inland Empire, right? But five out of the six members are from the Inland Empire. San Bernardino is where the music is made, and it's where it's practiced. So that's like ideally just the centerpiece of it all. And that's just like when people think Inland Empire, the first thought is San Bernardino. It's San Bernardino County, which is like the biggest county in the U.S. But we're kind of like the entirety of the Inland Empire is so vast. It goes from like San Bernardino to almost Vegas, I think. Like, it's gigantic, and
it's an empire.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So we're like kind of like a eagle clawed around the entire area. We're split across like a bunch of different cities. Like, I'm in Lake Elsinore, my drummer's in Highland, guitarist is in Fontana, and it's like it's all over the place. We're like roughly 40 miles apart from each other. But we got our guitarist Sergio, who is from the SGV, that's all the way past Pomona and stuff like that. He's kind of the bastard son of the band, but you know, we accept him. He's great. We wouldn't be anything without him. Dude's awesome on the strings.
Would you say you guys, even though you're like from slightly different places, you share like overall similar like upbringing in a hardcore and like a local scene?
Oh yeah, no. I would say, because I'm the oldest in the band, I'm 28. Everyone else is like, so I'm 28, Sergio's 25, he just turned 26, and everyone after that is like 23 and below. So all the other guys, they are like more relatively new compared to me and Sergio. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're still, I wouldn't say they're still learning, like they already got all their influences and stuff like that, who they look up to and everything, and they know like what's up with their music taste and stuff. But it's nice to see, like, I can see them experiencing stuff that I experienced like 10 years ago, like just new show mechanics and all this stuff like that. But I would say like I probably have the weirdest upbringing in regards to like hardcore and DIY in general, because I was never really all my first passion ever before music and everything was video games. So like I know that like the back of my hand, but if you try to make me tell you like five of my favorite artists' songs, I gotta look it up first. So right it's now. Like that, and I didn't even start with hardcore either. Like hardcore was way later into my teens and stuff like that. I started with like grunge and metal. So like my first was Alice in Chains and like Pearl Jam and stuff. That was what started me into music. That's what got me into music in general. Like I was, they taught me about drop D and I was like getting into guitar and everything. I was like, this is insane. So I went legit like 5 years just learning grunge music and like Metallica riffs and stuff like that. And it wasn't until I was like 15 or 16, I got into my first band and like, I learned about hardcore, like actual hardcore, like DIY. And my buddy showed me Kublai Khan back in like 2013. And that was when they were playing in like living rooms and stuff. So it's like nuts to see them now in like House of Blues and stuff, like stadiums. So
yeah. And it feels like it happened overnight too with them.
Yeah, it's insane. And if anyone deserves it, it's them. Like for sure. I've literally been watching them tour every single year since 2013. Just going houses to backyards to Vans Warped Tour to stadiums. Like it's crazy. Yeah, no, my musical upbringing was very, I'd say the most weirdest one out of all of us. Cause I mean, like Sergio, he is probably the fucking, he's like an almanac or encyclopedia of hardcore. It's insane. He's been doing this since he was like probably 8, dude. It's nuts. And like all the other guys, it's pretty similar across the board for them, you know, got into playing backyard shows and stuff like that. I met friends and we all met from different bands and boom, Big Ass Truck.
So you guys met through pre-existing bands you were in?
Yeah. So we commonly tell people that Big Ass Truck started off as a joke because it did. We were on tour with our different bands. My drummer Andres, he is in another band called God Awful. It's female fronted hardcore band. And we went on a tour. My other metalcore project called Ashiki went on a tour with them and Jacob, my guitarist, his other band, Muerte Buena. It was a three package bill going all the way up to like, I think we went to up to Oakland and then back home. So it wasn't anything too crazy, but on the way up there, I think we were passing Oxnard, which is like the western coast of California. We just went right past it, past the mountains, and past that it's just literally flatlands, just straight nothing but grass and like windmills and stuff. And I just jokingly said in the back seat when we were listening to like heavy ass music, I think we're listening to like God's Hate or something, I was like, man, we got to make a beatdown band called Big Ass Truck, because I saw all these semis coming, like just driving back and forth, like shipping containers and stuff like that. And like they joked about it. We legit joked about it for maybe 20 seconds, and I thought that was that, like, you know, just a passing band joke. Like everyone that's even remotely played music has made joke bands like that, and they never become anything, or they just become an inside joke.
And it's always a beatdown band too.
Yeah exactly. I said that, and then like 3 hours later we finally get to the Airbnb where we're staying before the show, and all my friends that were in the other car that weren't even attached to that joke come up to me and they're like, so Big Ass Truck. I was like, what? No, yeah, I mean, I guess. And like it like snowball affected from being a joke into like going to Andres, who came to me like a month after the tour and was like really wanting to start another side project, because God Awful was like his main focus and he had just left his other hardcore band, so he's basically in one band. He was like, man, I need another band, man. I was like, all right, yeah, I gotcha. And then I kept pushing it, and then like he was about to get taken if I didn't just come to him with the project. So I was like, hey man, I went up to him at a show, I was like, hey man, if you're serious, I'll text my producer Manny Calvillo's Hatred Six Audio on Instagram. He's the guy that produces all of Big Ass Truck's music so far. I was like, I will text Manny right now if you tell me yes. He's like, yeah, do it. And he saw me send the text and everything. And immediately Manny was like, yeah, I'll come in next week. So just snowball affected all the way up to that. And then we wrote like three songs in one day, and a demo spat itself out within like 2 months.
Yeah, that's a wild story. Like, so I don't know if I buy all that. Like, you guys were playing your first show this year in May, and now you're hitting stages with Terror. So how long have you really been an industry plant for?
I know, right? That's funny. Yeah. I saw
rise to the top. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw something similar on Reddit. I was like, is this just a band? Is this a super group of some guys that are in bigger bands? I was like, no, he just made a funny demo.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
But no, like, dude, I've been telling like every week since like, I want to say since the tour ended, we just hit a tour on the up the Pacific Northwest. It was 11 days straight. It ended in the end of September. And every week since then, we've had something like offered to us or somebody talked to us that's just blown our mind. Like the week we got back from tour, we got an offer from Kublai Khan at Chain Reaction. And we were like, what the fuck? Ridiculous. And it was Kublai sang with Suga Bog. So we were just like blown away off of that. And then like, where we got Rockville the week after that and all that stuff. And it's just like, it kept mounting up and all that. So it's so weird because none of us have ever experienced that. I mean, that 11 day tour for 90% of the tour package on that was our first actual tour where we didn't have like 4 days in between after 2 days of playing, you know, like it was an actual, each day is a show tour that any of us had ever been on. I think the only person that had was like Sergio who booked the whole thing. So it's all coming at us like really fast and stuff, but I mean, we got a good grasp on it. Like we haven't, none of us are cracking or anything like that as from what I see, but I don't know, man. I've yet to get a lot of that, and I can see why people would think that, but I mean, I don't know. We're taking it in stride.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. They are an industry plant. They just admitted to it. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. In terms of like joke hardcore bands, as you mentioned, everyone's been in like 30 of them that never actually wrote a song. Do you have a favorite joke hardcore band?
Dude, hold on. It's literally slipping my mind. I think it's We got compared to this band like I want to say like 6 months ago, and I had forgotten about them because I heard about them back in high school. Shark Punch.
I was gonna say, please tell me Shark Punch.
Yes, dude. Shark Punch is the shit.
They're fucking brocore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shark Punch is brocore.
Yes.
Dude, Shark Punch is the shit. Obviously we get compared to like Tsunami a lot. Like all my friends are like, dude, what's happening to you is what happened to Tsunami. Like you guys, they played a show with their joke lyrics and all that stuff, and then they just started blowing up. So and I was like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, like Shark Punch, Tsunami. Have you heard of my roommate compares us to this all the time? But there's an old demo from a band called Anton Ruff. No. You heard of that? No? No. So it's apparently it's like X or not X. It was a I want to say it was pre TUI, Trapped Under Ice. But like some of the members are in that. Like I know Brandon from Trapped Under Ice and Turnstile was a part of it, and I'm pretty sure Justice was too. But that was another like it was super just ignorant, like fuck you in your face. Like where the whole bit was like, fuck you, I'm Anton Ruff, I'll fuck you up. And then he screams his number, his cell phone number in the song, like 30179. It's ridiculous, dude.
Excellent.
But yeah, those are like the top three that come to my head whenever I think of that.
Brilliant. So I gotta ask, what inspires such poetic lyrics? Like, have you ever considered writing lyrics about medium-sized trucks or perhaps big-ass mopeds?
So that's funny. We have like ideas in the tank for like big-ass Harley, big-ass beard. You know, like oh, we got to go to the drawing board. It's just big-ass this, that.
I love it. It's a perfect formula. Never change it.
Exactly. I mean, there's not really like, there's no type of algorithm we follow or anything like that. Nothing set in stone. It's just like literally the whole ethos behind Big Ass Trucks since we even stepped foot in the studio was we just want to have fun with this. And it's still that to this day. And I'm happy that it stayed like that and the guys get that, and because it transfers to shows too. Cause like, yeah, you'll see online, if you look our name up, it's like, man, fucking joke band. What the fuck is it? Like, get the fuck, like, a bunch of people are always like, it's a joke band. I'm not going to take it serious. But if you go to a show, like, everyone's having fun. They're jumping off stages and stuff. They're moshing and all that stuff. Like, that's videos, all we ask for.
Videos were fucking live. Like, they look crazy. Yeah.
And that was what I was hoping. Rooms. Yeah.
A lot of energy. Yeah.
It's awesome. And that's all. I mean, that's kind of like all any hardcore band wishes for. Just like the crowd interaction, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Let the energy flow through you. But, what was that?
I was just gonna say, I'd be choked though if I got my nose broke into a big ass truck lyric,
dude. Like,
I'd be super pissed off. Be like, god damn,
no, I get that. Trust me, yeah. I've had friends like break limbs to our music. I'm like, damn, really? To big ass dog, come on. But,
amazing,
yeah, nothing really jumps out. Like, literally, when we first went into the studio, we wrote the song Big Ass Truck, Beef, and Big Ass Dog in one day in 4 hours. And I literally brought like a 20 pack of Modelo and we just hung out. Like, we hung out and wrote riffs. And then I wrote lyrics over it. And it all stemmed from us having a good time. And I mean, it kind of comes out in the music, apparently, from what people tell me. Okay. So I would just say the inspiration behind it is just having a good time.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
If the overarching theme of this band wasn't big ass vehicles, what would it be that you all like collectively really like?
Oh, man. I feel like it would be like a weapon. Like a gun, a big ass gun or something.
Ass gun.
Yeah, something that's just ignorantly bold.
Big ass, you know, Modelo.
Yeah. There you go. It's funny, like, I think everyone in the band is Mexican or of Mexican descent, and we've had so many comments on our stuff that's like, I expected this band to be five bald white guys. And then they see us, and I was like, "No, man, we rocking Modelos, man. We're a Modelo band, not Bud Light, brother. Sorry."
So, it's crazy because after seeing you, we were speaking about Welcome to Rockville.
Yeah,
and I saw you on that bill for 2025, and then today I think the bill for Coachella came out and I was kind of hoping to see you there. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, I was, the minute I saw it, I was like, all right, who's the hardcore bands this year?
It's Gel, it's Speed,
the Misfits else? Are on there, the original Misfits.
Huh?
Out of here. Yeah,
I didn't see they're same on there. Day, yeah. They're
the Lady only Gaga. One.
Yeah, they're the only ones on there with their logo.
What?
And you know they were like, yeah, we'll play, but put our logo.
So speaking of like these crazy lineups, is there any bands in the world that could be realistic or not that you would love to share a stage with?
I think collectively we would agree Metallica.
No big deal.
Like we were legit when we got asked for Rockville, we were all like, dude, what if Metallica gets announced on one of the days? But yeah, no, I'd say for me, I already knocked out mine, honestly. Like Kublai Khan was a full circle moment for me because I had been listening to them since I was like 15, and they were one of the main reasons I started like getting into heavy music writing and getting into bands and DIY. So that was mine. If I were to re-up, I'd probably say God's Hate. Cause they were vocally, Brody King is one of my biggest influences. Him, Matt Honeycutt, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I can't really speak for the other guys, but I can collectively say we would say Metallica 100%. Like just in any capacity. I don't even care if it's a fest like Rockville. If we could just play like and just be able to see them, it'd be awesome.
I mean, you're playing with Korn, so.
Yeah, that's kinda insane. You know what the guys are like really stoked about? Crossfade. Dude, that's going to be awesome.
It is all brand.
That's so sick. But yeah, God's Hate for me.
So speaking of shows of the past year, is there a favorite and a least favorite show so far?
Oh man, I would say our favorite one, it was getting re-upped like every week. And I feel like I can answer this question in like multiple parts, because like there's favorite crowd interaction and then there's favorite in like catharsis. It's like for the guys, playing with Terror was insane, and just meeting them and stuff, like minds were blown. But I would say overall, for me, it would probably be our last show from our tour, where we played The Haven. The Haven's a venue in Pomona. It's like where all the Inland Empire shows are going on right now. And my drummer Andres is actually one that like one of the main bookers that books out of it for all the hardcore and stuff, like collaborates with like SOS booking and all that stuff to like get the like Zabalba just played there, and he helped throw on all that stuff. But we played there at the last day of our tour, September 29th. And it was all of our homies, like every single friend we've made yet in hardcore just showed up.
Because, I love when that happens.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like, it was that plus people I've never met before, like hundreds. And I think we capped it like the Havens. I don't know what the Havens cap is like exactly, but I want to say it's around 350. There was easily like 400, almost 500 people there. And it was insane. The energy, I've never experienced energy like that yet. And it was also the loudest, like big ass truck chant we've had yet. Like it was nuts. And there was a moment we were, for that whole tour, all the 11 days, we were covering Proven by Hatebreed in like the middle of the set. And when we played it that day, at the last like Proven call, we droned out the guitars and I had Sergio take his guitar off and I put it on, and Sergio grabbed the mic, and all of our friends we were on tour with grabbed the mic of their own. And they all yelled Proven. It was awesome. And I played the riff into it. It was great. I'm never going to forget that.
I love it when it's like all the friends from all over, and plus the new people, because it's like episode one, season two of a TV show where you get like the old characters and the new characters.
Yeah.
It's so exciting every single time.
It's awesome.
So
I gave so many dap ups that night. Like, what's up, man?
And do you have like a shitty memory?
Let me see. By getting kicked in the face in Boise, that was the worst one. Like legit knocked my glasses across my face, and because I do the whole Justice Trip thing with the glasses strap and everything, because I cannot see without them.
Reach.
Yeah, dude, it's horrible.
I took my glasses off 2 weeks ago, or well, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago at a show.
Yeah,
first time I don't mosh often. I take them off for like 3 minutes. Somebody kicked me so fucking hard in the eye they broke my orbital bone.
Jesus Christ!
The one time a fucking year I take my glasses off and let my fat ass go across the pit, and I can't see a goddamn thing standing on the edge. Anyways, I just wanted to bitch about that, because
that's like
it sucks
fear,
being
man.
Blind.
It's yeah, so, no, I get that. I can really.
If I had my glasses on, I'd have no fucking eye. I'd have glass in my eye, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I had gotten some. Boise was like an insane show on that tour, because that was like the biggest venue on the whole thing, and we felt like an actual band. So they had like a whole sound system and everything, and there's kids jumping off the stage and stuff. But yeah, one of them like swan dived off, and his boot just clipped my face. I was like, oh man, that sucked.
So did it break your glasses? That.
No, it's surprisingly not.
Wow,
but, dude, I got these glasses off of Zenny. No, I don't know, not sponsored, but these things are insane. I've been punched, kicked, and like hit in these things. They have yet to break. Just the nose pads get bent, and I bend them back in place. That's it. They have been awesome. Through war.
And how's the how do you call it? The cord.
I'm sorry.
Frequencies.
Talking about the strap for the glasses?
The strap, yeah. Does that work?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's insane. Like after a set, it probably goes back a little, so I have to readjust it a little bit, but it stays on, surprisingly. Everyone, like, there's a bunch of people that always come up to me, and they're like, I thought you had a rat tail, like, on your head. And I was like, what? It's like, no, that's my glasses strap, man. I'm not lame.
You should buy like one of those funky ones that the old ladies wear.
Oh, with the long ones with the or with the one with the chain that connects to the lens and stuff.
It's funny. At least it's not mistaken for a rat tail.
Yeah.
I like how you're like, no, I'm not a lame. That's my fucking glasses strap.
There was like a portion of time in high school where like that was the thing to do. Like all the rat tails.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
That sucks too.
There was like 2 years during high school where like all the cool guys were shuffling and doing that.
Oh, sucks.
It's weird.
That's but terrible. isn't that like, but that's not like what a mullet is. It's like a small, tiny tail at the end of your head.
Yeah, but there's so much more distracting from that.
it's a full involved headpiece with the mullet.
Yeah,
the rat tail is just the tail.
What's the saying?
Business
in the front, party in the back.
Party in the back.
Yeah.
Oh what my god! Ow, kid, when in Italy they used to do that all the time too, and they would also like dye it blonde randomly.
That's crazy.
Just the rat tail.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That sucks so bad.
That's
shout out to anyone rocking a mullet. Sorry, Vicky, go ahead.
That's all America's fault.
It's like that.
Brought us rat tails and big ass trucks.
Yep, we'll take it. Heroes from the grave.
If you could see one band do a reunion show, who would it be and why?
Oh man, I feel like the was it cop out answers title fight? You know, yeah, everyone says
meta.
Yeah,
it's either that or Fugazi usually.
Yeah. I would have said if this podcast had happened like 2 or 3 months ago, I'd have said Foundation, but you know, FYA, that's yeah. going on. I gotta get my plane ticket. It's, dude, Foundation's amazing. I'm sorry?
You're going to FYA?
I'm trying, but you know, my car's been giving me trouble and stuff like that, and just general life issues. But I'm desperately looking for a plane. It's the plane ticket that's really getting in the way.
Yeah,
but I definitely want to go.
There's a very sick band from where I'm from that's mm-hmm. called Silver.
Called say again?
Silver.
Uh huh.
They're playing FYA this year, so check them out.
That's awesome. Foundation and probably Blistered. Or I wanted to go for Blistered too. Blistered's so sick. But I mean, let me see. I guess my solid answer to that question would probably be, and I just barely missed them on the most recent one, but Rage Against the Machine, because I literally had tickets to see them, and Zach had torn his Achilles tendon, so he had to cancel the whole tour, and so like that was after it got postponed by COVID too, so I had the ticket twice. And I Wait, missed but it.
Didn't
twice.
He do like a fuck ton of shows just sitting down?
Yeah, but it was. I believe it was after he had been doing that. He just called it. Oh, they had ended up calling it because I had to sell my ticket and everything. So,
do you want to see Zach sitting down? Anyways, like that would be
fun.
Like he is fully into his performances. Yeah. That's a fucking body thing.
Right? That's a big portion of Rage's like energy is just Zach. Yeah. So,
part of the rage, indeed.
I'm also not tripping too much because I saw him at their quote unquote last show in 2010. And I was like 15. I didn't even know what I was doing. So
that's wild.
No, that's my number one like golden spot band. I love Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, I was raised on Rage.
Amazing band.
I watched their live DVDs. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, they are I watched the DNC. Video of them playing the Democratic National Convention, just fucking.
Or they're like it. Right across the street.
Yeah,
yeah. Cops awesome, come out dude. With like rubber bullets and fucking tear gas and shit, and they're just playing throughout it. Still, I'm like, this is insane. I'm like 10 watching it, just like.
Awesome. I am 10, and this is deep.
Yeah.
I am 26, and this is still deep.
Yeah.
I could watch that tonight and still be like, whoa. Still 100%. Be just as excited. Yeah. Just as excited as I was when I was 10 watching it. That's a crazy set. Crazy set. What did I have on my list of questions that I wanted to ask you? Because I lost my place. Oh, okay. I was curious with y'all being overly American. And I do say y'all. What's the most American thing that you've done? You ever like shot your hand off with a firework or opened a beer with a gun?
Let me see. I mean, I'm a veteran, so I was in the military from like 2015 to 2022, and just gotten out like right as like literally January or April of 2022 was my last month in, and I had gotten out. But when I was in the military, I was really into powerlifting. And I'd say the most American thing that comes straight to my head was I shotgunned a beer one time, and then I deadlifted 500 pounds right after. And then everyone in the powerlifting gym was like, yeah!
Hell yeah.
Let's hell go! Yeah,
things that make you go, hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, brother. Yeah, that's awesome. Not a lot of people can say that. What kind of beer?
I believe it was a Pabst. It was Pabst, yeah. Just straight up PBR.
Dirty old Pabst
beers. If my memory serves me correct.
Oh, love that gross beer. Delicious.
Yeah. Dude, we're playing FTC this year, and Pabst is one of the sponsors. Dude, I'm stoked.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the SOS booking, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's in December 15th. That's
Dude, the 14th there's so and 15th. Many names on there. Gorilla yeah. Biscuits, Mind
One
Force.
King Down, On Broken Wings.
Like, oh, Obi Dubs.
Yep. Oh, dude, Year of the Knife too. Right, see the album.
yeah. Had them on season 2, 3.
That's awesome.
Three? I don't know. Yeah, it was wicked. Yeah, I love them. That's wild. That's cool. 2-day like stacked lineup.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm very stoked. The Blasco is a beautiful venue too. So it's been there for the past couple of years. Say again.
Who are you most excited to see?
Day one, Year of the Knife. Day two, On Broken Wings.
Nice.
Yeah, Year of the Knife, because I mean, come on, that's gonna be like so right. sentimental. Like, it's gonna be nuts. Like, they played that new the what is it, the Metal and Hardcore Fest, like a couple of months ago or something like that. It was their first show back, but it was like they played at a outside venue that was like barricaded and stuff, and the vibes were a little off. I was like, what? That's their first show back? So I think this show is going to be like off the walls for them. Yeah. It's going to be insane. Just with the given context of what's happening to them and stuff, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, fuck, that's been quite the journey, eh?
Yeah, it's nuts seeing like all them recover and anything, and more power to them. It's amazing to see. I love that band.
Hell yeah. Every band's ever sent there to have something like that happen. It's just insane.
Yep.
Absolutely insane. Well, on to more stupid questions. What's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've ever done in your life that you're willing to put on a very public podcast?
Oh, snap. probably when I was like, I want to say 17, I was a senior in high school. I had just like started my senior year. We snuck into a quarry. Like where they crack rocks and stuff like that. Just there were like security guards all over the place. It was me and like six of my friends, and we legit, like, it was midnight, pitch black, trekked across a mile and a half of just desert just to sneak into this quarry, touch a wall, and come back. There was like coyotes roaming around and stuff. There was no point to it. It was so dumb, but we did it. I mean, it felt cool, I guess. Probably that. Nothing too crazy.
How the hell did y'all grow up? That sounds like the most hick dumb shit to do.
That's Inland Empire. Basically.
Okay. That's fucking silly. That's the most illegal or the most dangerous?
I'd say both, honestly. Like, yeah.
Yes. No further questions, Your Honor.
Yeah. Plead the fifth.
Another silly one. Violent one, too. Assuming you're not a pacifist, if you could punch anyone in the face as hard as you possibly can with no repercussions ever, who would it be and why?
Oh, man.
List?
Yeah, there's a list, yeah. Let me refer to my list. Oh, man.
It's a scroll at this point.
Yeah. I can't really. Probably Alex Jones, just to see the reaction. It'd be funny. Like, after that Sandy Hook shit he did, that was fucked up. But I mean, dude owns, he owes like a billion, like no joke, $1 billion now. So that's kind of the worst punch in the face you can get. But honestly, I think that'd be just funny.
What would he say? Like,
he was like, no, like, no joke. I had just read about it again recently. He was sued by, I think it was like Connecticut and Texas, multiple people in Connecticut and Texas for the Sandy Hook stuff he was saying. And like, one of them, Texas or Connecticut, their the amount was uncapped. So it literally pushed it to right under $1 billion that he owes.
Let's presume I don't follow this lunatic. What the fuck was the Sandy Hook shit he said? Because I don't know.
He was basically saying it was like a psyop. It was fake and all that stuff. Like,
if you just went ahead and punched him,
yeah,
he would probably turn it into a conspiracy theory.
For sure. Oh, 100%. 100%. Yes. But yeah, I guess that's my answer for that. That dude, Jesus Christ, I don't know why he did that. I heard the Onion just bought his website too, InfoWars. Who knows what they're gonna do with that? That's gonna be funny.
I thought that was like a joke article when I scrolled by it.
Yeah.
like it was satire. Like I just yeah. like, that's good. And I kept scrolling. Yeah. That's legitimate. Okay. Yeah, fuck. Well, awesome. I guess anything's possible now. We got the we got Linda McMahon being the Secretary of Education.
Dude.
Fuck.
All these
as a wrestling fan, I apologize to everybody.
Yeah. Christ.
Oh shit. All right. What do we got? What do we got left on the docket? Oh, yeah. What do you listen to that could be considered a guilty pleasure, either to yourself or others?
Oh,
and
dude.
If you're gonna say you don't believe in guilty pleasures, what do you listen to that I would definitely make fun of you for, or that your friends make fun of you for?
Brother, 90 like 70% of my music you'd make fun of me for. I love distinct bands and distinct like music. So that's probably why. That's probably why I like gravitated towards grunge more than like hardcore and stuff like that, because every vocalist in grunge music is so distinct. Like in a suspect lineup of vocalists, you can be like, oh, that's Eddie Vedder. Oh, that's Chris Cornell. Oh, like, you know, like Layne Staley, boom. But for that, I either hyper pop the genre as a whole with like the Amen break style beat in the background and stuff like that, or like break
genre as a whole.
Yeah, like yes, dude, I love it, dude. Accurate. Like I'll be studying like for a final or something, and I'll have that on in the background, just like going insane. People think I'm just rocking out in here, and I'm just like studying. So either that or like 100 Gex. A lot of people rip on me for 100 Gex. I love Gex. The shows look insane too, so.
Definitely not a fan of grunge at all, like the genre as a whole. So that's pretty funny. Okay. Let's spread some hate. What's your most unpopular music take?
My most unpopular music take.
Yeah.
Damn. So what's something that's not going to get me fucking held at gunpoint?
I want the one that's gonna have the gun pointed at you. That's the whole point of this question, man. Don't back down now. You just said you like 100 gags. Don't keep swimming.
True, true, true. Yeah, true. Personally, for me, I don't hold Marauder to as high of a standard as everyone else. I think they're good band. Don't get me wrong. Not bad by any means, but I don't know. Just the album Master Killer didn't like grab me as it did all everyone else in the band and stuff like that. So like if I go to the if I listen to Master Killer, I'm listening to the same three tracks over and over again. So just like Time Ends, title track, and like Life is Pain.
It's been like a big year for Master Killer too. You would think it came out this year.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Shout out Hardlore for bringing that back, because they are a big reason that album is like making its return. But yeah, like probably that. And I know like half of my friends that I've told that to, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I hope we manage to see you around after this comes out.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's dropping next week, by the way. So this might be a short ass career.
Yeah. I would love to see them live though, dude. Like seeing Marauder live, like I've had multiple friend bands cover like Time Ends and stuff like that, and it's gone off every time. I can't imagine what the actual like band playing is like.
Hood classic.
Yeah.
So we just spread some hate. Let's spread some love. If you could give the world a gift, what would it be?
A gift.
Doesn't have to be a material possession either. Just.
A world peace. No, I'm just kidding. Probably like, I think it'd be funny if I just gave everyone a seven string.
I'd be so awesome. pissed.
Because that's what Big Ass Truck writes music on. And trust me, I am not a seven string guy by any means. I think it's such a funny instrument. Because, like, the minute I tuned that thing to drop A and started playing, I was like, this is so goofy. It felt so funny. But
are you guys in like drop A standard or whatever the fuck? It's not like
No, we're literally just drop A straight up. The lowest string is A. Everything else is standard tuning. So it's just
fucking spaghetti noodles on the fretboard.
Yeah,
so obnoxious to play that shit.
Really, we just stay on the lowest string. It's crazy.
So seven strings for everyone.
Yeah, for the whole world.
Like, so, you only write top string riffs.
Yeah, you a seven string that can't be detuned from drop A.
It's a blessing and the curse.
Yeah.
So let's do two final, more serious questions about your near future. So it was a packed year for the band already, as it was, and the fucking promo makes us assume something else is coming this year, or not.
Yeah, no, definitely. 100%. Like, the traction is only picking up, so we obviously are just like, well, let's go write some more music. But it's like, it's so weird with us because it's a blessing and a curse. Everything that's been written so far, the promo and the big ass demo, they were all written. Every single song was written on the spot. Like, we showed up and we wrote a riff, went off of that, and it was done within the day. I think that the only song, like the song that took the longest to make, was From the Grave, and that took like 3.5-4 hours. And that was just because we were fucking around in between, like watching. Well, I think we were watching like Smokey and the Bandit and stuff while we were recording. It's like, it's stupid.
As one does.
But yeah, we definitely want to make another record soon. Maybe even a split with the band that we enjoy or something like that. But we're figuring that out. Mostly just focusing on like trying to get East Coast tour going next year, hopefully, you know, working on that, tracking all that stuff down, and like working with some UK companies to get them out, or UK agencies to get us out there, like get the name out across the pond, basically.
Great. So one last thing, just finally, any last shout outs, plugs, causes you want to speak on before you mysteriously disappear for saying that thing about Marauder?
Yeah. let me bring out the list real quick. Shout out, shout out all the homies from the 909. You know, Smoke 909, a big one being they're featured on our demo for Corn Fed. They are one of the biggest reasons I started Big Ass Truck, because that's my favorite local band, like at the moment and probably ever. Those are some of my closest friends too. So shout out Smoke 909. Shout out Auditory Anguish and Watch You Fall. God Awful, Harsh Reality, Bayori, you know, all the homies. Hatred 6 Audio, Manny. I said it earlier, but he's the guy that's produced all our music and everything. He's also been a huge help in like just structuring and of the songs, and just like being like, hey, what if we did this? Like, makes it slower. So it's the Hatred 6 Audio, 5-7 Booking, SOS Booking, and I know I'm gonna get friends that are gonna come after me after this, like, hey, you didn't shout me out. You didn't shout this out, but
see. You can't hit everybody.
Yeah. Be here for hours.
Yeah.
That's what comes straight to my head off the dome.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we super appreciate you coming to chat with us today. This has been super fun.
Of course. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think I'm ending with Corn Fed, because the guest vocals, you're talking about Smoke, and it's fucking the funniest fucking guest vocals. Like, oh,
dude.
Shit.
Yeah. Dude, he came up with the line, the ender of that demo, the big ass motherfucking truck suck my big ass motherfucking nuts. David from Smoke 909, he came up with that like on the spot. I was like, dude, you're amazing.
that's some very early hardcore energy. I haven't heard anything like that in so long. Yeah. Fuck yeah. It's so stupid. Awesome. Love it. That's awesome. Man, okay, yeah. Super, super hyped that you came to chat with us. Super hyped to see where you guys are going.
Thank you.
If you're not on Hardlore, like as the first episode in the new year, I'd be fucking shocked.
That's funny you say that. My roommate is the editor of Hardlore.
Oh no way! So,
yeah, I'm roommates with Steven 197 Media, and nice. I've been living with them for like a year now. But trust me, dude, I hear Colin and Bo's voice in my dreams. Like he's always like I can always hear them talking.
I just want to be in the review mirror. I got that big ass truck before they did. What's up, motherfuckers?
Gotcha. That's funny. No, and yeah, no, I appreciate this, guys. This was great.
Hell yeah. Appreciate your time, man.
Of course. I'll get you that email ASAP.
Please do, because I'll be on it. Yep. I'll be on it. All right, Abel. Gotcha. Again, thank you so much for coming to chat. Vicky, thanks for staying up past like 2 a.m. to do this. I super appreciate that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Thanks. Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you, guys.